All right. If you have your Bible, this morning I want to share things that's been really burning my heart and my spirit, and not only my spirit, but other people's spirits this morning. And I appreciate Miss Kim. Miss Kim, you fired that text this morning, and you said, "I'm fired up, hungry for God. I'm ready to come and get my worship on." Man, that fires a pastor up on Sunday morning. You know, because most of the time, you know, not a lot of people, most of the time, all you're hearing is problems. I mean, we hear a lot of problems in this world we live in. But how many knows that God's greater than our problems? Do we believe that? You say it, do you believe it, though? Do you believe that God's bigger than anything that you're facing right now? Amen. I know we say we do, but sometimes when we're really in the fire, it's a whole different thing. But this morning, God is going to really do something. I feel like that in my spirit. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me this morning. Some little bit different places in the Scripture, but I like to go to the Song of Solomon, okay? And how many knows that there is a book in the Bible called the Song of Solomon? And I'm going to ask my beautiful, lovely daughter. You owe me big time. I hope you know that. Listen. How many knows that you don't have children? Abraham defied the law. I mean, the laws of nature. And God blessed him and he had children in his old age. But how many know normally you don't have little bouncing bambinos when you're in your 60s. How many knows that? God did that for a reason. How many knows that? You don't have all that energy you used to have. And you know what? And I have, Angel, I have had a sleepover. My son had a party at his house, and we had 30 boys at our house. I don't know. Whoa, how mercy. I don't know how in the world we got them all in the house. But they had a time, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read 6 and 7. You remember the verses you read the other night? That's 8. That's chapter 8. Chapter 8 of the Song of Solomon. That is in the Bible. It's called the Song of Songs. There's some other places. That's a strange place to go in the Scripture. But if you have your Bible, you can turn with us there.
You want me to start with 5? Or did you say 6?
Yes, because okay. You can, the one that you was reading the other night. And if you want to stand for the reading, if you can't stand, then listen, don't worry about that, okay? If you can't stand, don't worry about that.
It says, "Who is this one? Look at her now. She arises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree, you were feasting upon me. I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth, as you longed for more of me. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave, all-consuming as the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore."
Amen. You may be seated. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That's God's word. You know, the Song of Solomon is basically about two characters, a lot of characters in there, but one of them is about a Shumanite woman and her love for her beloved. And so it's her mission in this that she pursue and go after the love of her life. I'm going to say something to you today. There's a love in your life, a love that wants to exist in your life far greater than any kind of love or any kind of thing that you can find in the natural sense. How many knows that there's a love that God has for us that's much deeper than anything you could ever imagine? Amen? Everybody say, God's love is deep. Amen. So our prayer is this morning, God, awaken this passion inside of us this morning. Everybody say, passion. Passion is a deep burning desire. We've got passion. We have passion in our life for different things. You know, we've been talking about hunger lately. We've been talking about thirst. We've been talking about fire. We've been talking about going after God. But there are people that are passionate about different kinds of things. And Becky, do you have those up there? And you start out with that first scripture, that first slide there about the passion. Please, thank you. But we all have passion for things, and we all have passion for natural things. We love things, and we go all out for those things. You know, that's a natural tendency for people to be passionate about different things. But passionate is a powerful word. It's a very biblical word. You know, the greatest example to exemplify passion was Jesus himself and his pursuit of his church, his pursuit of the lost. It's Jesus' love for us. Jesus was passionate. In fact, the last week of his life here on earth, as he was making his way for the cross, that last week of Jesus' life here on earth in Jerusalem was called, in many ways, called the week of the passion. Because Jesus poured out his all for you and I. How many knows that Jesus poured out his all for you and I? Amen. He wasn't the story about, you know, the hen and the pig. You know, they were disputing one day about who gave the most for the farmer's breakfast. And they both argued about who gave something sacrificial. And, you know, the pig looked at the hen and said, well, you know, you've given a lot. You've given your eggs. But then he looked at the hen and said, I have to give it all for the bacon. How many knows that there, Jesus gave it all when he gave his life for us. Amen. He gave us his all when he gave his life for us. So today, there's one there that I labeled, Becky, what are you passionate for? Because I know that there are different ones of us that are passionate about different kinds of things. We're passionate. We've been talking about that. We're passionate. We can really get passionate about the sport that we love, the team that we're rooting for. We can really get passionate and go all out about that. But we are passionate about things. God put something in us, a human spirit, a human drive within us. And we have a passion about different kinds of things. Fire is one's life is passion. And that fire is the belly or the catalyst of every believer that wants to be a receiver. So it's passion in the belly of the believer that is our driver that gets us up this morning. Nobody had to pay me to be here this morning. Nobody had to give me something to be here this morning. I got to be here this morning. It is a privilege to walk in the courts of the King and to worship the greatest name in the universe today. You see, I don't have a problem with that. And sometimes we do have a problem with our passion. Our passion gets misplaced. It gets out of, you know, our priorities get out of order, and we can be passionate about a lot of the wrong things. And the level of that passion for God can be seen to the temperature of that fire that burns on the inside of us. We were talking about that fire last week. You know, when we're talking about fire in the scripture, it represents many things, and we talked about that also last week. But the fire that I want to talk about this morning is the fire of the passion that drives you. It's the catalyst. It's what's inside of you. And sometimes that fire is missing. Sometimes that fire is missing. I had him, where is Trevor? I had him to get the barbecue grill. You got that, Trevor? Can you bring it up here just in a minute, buddy? I appreciate Trevor. I have him running all over the place for things. I appreciate it. Everybody say, wake up. Listen, what time is it? I don't know what time it is, but it's 12 o'clock. You say, Pastor, you know what? Most churches are getting out at 12. Amen. Okay? But listen, I'm not being critical about that. But you know what? If that's all we come to get out at 12, something's missing, amen, in our life. And I'm not saying you have to be here all day either to have passion. But I will say this, that sometimes things are missing in our life. And I think the passion for the right thing is what's missing in our life sometimes. Can you find something, Trevor, to set it up? Did you already open that up? You can open it up out there if you haven't already. You know, open the briquettes up and put them on the grill. Pastor R, yes. Just go ahead and do that out there. I appreciate it. Everybody give a cheer for Trevor. Yay for Trevor. Mark 12 and 30, the Bible says, Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your might, your soul, and your strength. Everybody shout all. Jesus not only demonstrated his passion to love us, and he gave all, but he compelled us to love him no shorter than to love him with all of our might, our soul, and our strength. See, you can love God in a sense. You can love him in a sense. You can love him that he's God. You can love him because he does things for you. But when you love him with all, that means all of you are involved. Amen. All of you are involved. When the sacrifices were placed upon the altar back in the book of Leviticus, that fire had to be burning hot to consume those sacrifices. In Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says that God commanded the Levites to exactly how to put that fire, the kind of wood to put on it, what to do with the fire to keep it going. So it was their task. It was their servitude to be able to keep that fire going. Everybody say, keep the fire going. You know what? There's a fire burning in our soul. There's a fire that Jesus started in our soul. There's a fire. That fire that was started in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says when the altar was set up and the animal was placed upon the altar, before the animal was actually placed upon the altar, that the Bible says when the wood was placed there, that there was a divine, there was a fire, there was a powerful fire that lit that altar and ignited the flame that was in that under that altar. And God told the nation of Israel, he says, the fire that I start, you can't let go out. Amen. How many knows that sometimes our fire goes out? Sometimes the fire goes out. Life comes against you. Problems comes against you. You face problems. You face sickness. You face discouragement. You face and battle depression. You face all kinds of circumstances that try to dampen the fire inside of your life. It's because the enemy knows that God started a fire in you. God started a fire, and that fire is continuing to burn. That fire that God started back in the book of Leviticus burned for centuries and centuries. Their responsibility was to never let that fire go out. So remember, there are three things that we need to remember about that fire. If I ask you about your homework today, how many remember those three things about the fire? No, nobody's hand raised up. Okay, Catherine, thank you. Can you tell me one thing about that fire that you remember, Catherine, about keeping the fire? Okay, all right, I caught her off. How many knows that we gotta keep the fire that God started going? Amen? That's one of the things. We gotta keep the fire going. We got to keep the fire going. Everybody say, keep the fire going. God started a fire. Now, knowing that God started that fire, we got to understand it makes it a different kind of fire. That's called sacred. Everybody say, sacred. You know what? We don't think about that word anymore. There are things that are sacred to God. I said there are things that are sacred to God. There are things that are holy. There are things that are sacred. There are things that set aside. that God started, and we can't be nonchalant or complacent and apathetic and just let go of the things that God starts in our heart and our life. God went to a great expense. He went to a great expense to set a fire on the earth. He went to a great expense to make sure that there was a fire set upon the earth. And that makes it sacred. If God did it, it makes it sacred. Everybody shout sacred. There is a sacred fire burning beneath all in the contents of my heart. There's a fire that drives me. There's a passion that drives me. There's a fire that gets me up in the morning and sets me before the Lord's word. There's a fire that causes me to pray throughout the day and throughout the night. There's a fire that causes me. There's a fire in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. There's a fire inside of me that compels me to win the lost for Jesus. There's a fire inside of me that compels me to go way out of my way to take the gospel to a hopeless world that's dying in their sin. There's a fire. There's a sacred fire burning in me. Is that fire burning you this morning? Is it burning you? Well, if God started, that means it's sacred. So that means we can't let it go out. We can't let what God started go out. Amen. But how many knows that there's a devil wanting to put your fire out? He wants to put your fire out. Like that old song, "Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine." Oh, y'all not helping me at all this morning, Lord. Jesus, this is like pulling rhino's teeth this morning. How many knows that God started the fire? And if God started the fire, by no means should you ever let anything or anyone blow that fire out. Amen. That fire is the passion that burns inside of you. The passion that burns inside of you. That fire is sacred. Remember that. The fire. God started the fire. And we got to keep the fire clean. Everybody say, keep the fire clean. That means our daily job is to go and take off anything in the fire that smothers the fire. And that's called residue or ashes. How many knows that life will smother you? Let me get back here and talk to some people right now. How many knows that life will smother you? How many knows that life will smother you? How many knows that your problems will smother you? How many knows that your problems are complicated and complex? And sometimes they're so complex and so overwhelming that they smother you. How many knows that sometimes it's hard to raise your head because of all the things that's going on around your life? Let me tell you something. It's because the enemy wants to smother the fire that's in you. So our daily job is to get up and haul those ashes out. And so the fire can be fresh. And so every day our responsibility again. The third thing is to keep the fire fresh. And that means every day they had to get up and carry wood to the fire. Every day we got to get up and carry wood to the fire. Some of y'all wondering why you're so cold. Oh. Well, let's get real right here. How many of you are wondering? Oh, I'm so cold. I'm so cold. I feel so distant. I feel so lost. I feel so disconnected. I feel so this. I feel so that. You know why? You're not putting wood on your fire. It's a simple element of building a fire. In order to make that fire keep burning, you got to keep stuff on the fire. You got to keep stuff on the fire. You got to keep a fire burning hot and bright so it will consume everything that you place upon the altar. Everything was burned up on that altar that was placed on it. Any animal sacrifice that was placed on it, the priest couldn't leave anything hanging over. If there was a sacrifice that was a little too large, they'd trim off the edges and place it all in the middle so every bit of it would be consumed. How many knows that God has consumed us with the fire of His holy presence? Amen. We're consumed by holy fire. There's a fire burning inside of you. If it's not burning, you need to hit an altar and get some wood on your fire so the fire can get built strong and powerful. Amen. So you can make a difference in a lot of people's life. keep the fire going, keep it clean, and keep the fire fresh. God wants to do that in our life. God is a consuming fire. It's the fire of passion that changes a life. I sent this to some people this week. I want you to listen to this. It's a fire of passion that changes a life. And it's a passionate life that can change the world. God has called you to change the world. Some of you right now, what you're stuck in is a very minute world. You know, the little world around you. But how many knows there's a big world outside your world? There's a world that Jesus called us to. There's a world that Jesus told us to change. There's a world that Jesus told us to take the gospel to. There's a world outside your world. How many know? Listen, quit being consumed by your world and start looking outside the world. And listen, there's a world that's lost and needs Jesus. Amen. There's a world that's lost and needs Jesus. There's a world that's cold and different with the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. Today, there are things that try to put your fire out, but God compels us to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning, not just during good times, but during hard times. During hard times. Everybody say hard times. Hard times is the times of testing. It's the times of difficulty. It's a time when we need perseverance. It's a time when we need dedication and commitment. It's a time that we need to be all about God. Not just some of us about God. Not a part of us about God. But remember, He's a consuming fire. And He wants to consume all the sacrifice. So in order for you to burn the way you should have burned, you've got to give Him all of yourself. Amen. You can't give Him just a piece of you. You can't just dedicate a part of your life to Him. How many knows that He's got to be your life? Amen. Not many amens there. My heart is burdened, man. I am troubled. Not in a bad sense, but I am burdened for people. God, wake up people. Wake them up. Hallelujah. How many knows that there's a king coming soon? Did you all know that? Did you know that? Then if you know it, then it's high time, as Paul said, to wake up out of our sleep. Amen. Wake the slumbering spirit inside of us. Quicken us with a holy fire that we can burn and be consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, burn in us, Lord. Burn in us. Jeremiah 20:9. There's a powerful word right there. If you have your Bible and you want to flip there, you can real quickly, but we're not going to take a lot of time to do that. But Jeremiah 20, if you have your Bible, Jeremiah 20:9. The Bible said Jeremiah the prophet, he was called the weeping prophet. How many knows that Jeremiah, his call was to prophesy to a nation that wouldn't listen to him. Prophesy to a nation that was rebellious against God. So his responsibility was to try to awaken a nation through his prophetic messages. And the Bible says because of the reluctancy to hear, he was thrown into prison. He was thrown into prison for preaching the way he should have preached in the court of a king. He was faced with hostile enemy. And he was persecuted different times because of his message that he preached. Let me tell you something. People are going to hate you. There are people that will hate you not because of who you are, just because you know Jesus. How many knows we live in a world that they'll just hate you because you love Jesus, because you're in love with Jesus, not because you've done anything to them. There are people that hate me. I've never done a thing to them. They just decided that they want to hate me because somebody else hates me. How many knows that people, there's a lot of haters out there that'll get on the bandwagon that will just hate you because of Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus said, don't think that's strange when people hate you because of my name's sake. And so, here it was Jeremiah And he had this powerful calling, this anointing inside of him. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 20:9, it says, "Then I said, I'll not make mention of him anymore." Jeremiah was so distraught and so discouraged and so depressed and so down. He says, "I'm going to give up preaching." That thought's entered my mind a few times. Oh man, let me tell you something. How many knows? How many be real with me right now? Like, how many will really be real in here and said the thoughts entertained my mind before about just giving up? How many's ever thought that before? Listen, that doesn't mean you don't have faith. That doesn't mean you're bad. That doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. But how many will be real with me? And how many said before, "Well, I feel like maybe I could just give up this thing"? How many's ever thought that? How many's ever thought that before? Right, you're real. And thank you for being real. Jeremiah felt the same way. He had such a powerful calling and he had such a powerful mission. But the Bible said that he said one time when he come to this perplexion, he said, "This is what I got to do. I'm not going to make mention of him anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name." But, everybody say, but. This is the difference. This is the catalyst. This is the fire that's down inside of his soul. Jeremiah said, "I don't think I can do this anymore, Lord. I don't think I can go to prisons anymore. I don't think I can preach to people that won't hear me. I don't think I can preach to people that persecute me and put me in prison. I don't believe I can preach to people that won't hear what you're trying to say." And he says, "I believe I'm going to quit." But, everybody shout, but. Listen to this. He couldn't quit. He couldn't quit. You know why? He couldn't. But the word was in my heart like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones. There was a fire so powerful in me. There was a fire down inside there. Oh, sometimes you can't hardly feel the heat from it. Sometimes you can't hardly see the flame. Sometimes it looks so small and insignificant. But nevertheless, there's a fire down in there. You know why? It's a sacred fire that God Almighty started. Amen. How many knows what God starts, the devil can't do anything with it. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "The devil wants me to quit, but he can't do anything with me." Amen. He can't contain the fire that's shut up in my bones. There's a fire down inside that can't go out. There's a fire down inside of me that I won't let go of. There is an experience down inside of me that I embrace and that I hold on to. It's what carries me through the nighttime. It's what carries me through the hard times. It's what gets me through the testing. It gets what gets me through the struggle. It's because of what God has done inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that will come against me. Oh, I wish I had somebody that would help me. Amen. Somebody needs to receive that word today. Don't you give up. Don't you let the devil try to douse your fire. There's a fire shut up in your bones. Oh. I read this little article about an old preacher by the name of Gypsy Smith. Sort of a strange name. And he was asked, he came to America to preach. He wasn't from here, but he came here to preach the gospel. He was in this large gathering preaching. And he was 80-some years of age. But he was preaching with fire and power. Wow. He was 80 years of age. Big D, listen, friend. When you're my age, if the Lord blesses and tarries here that long, I'll be going on to be with Jesus. Oh, I'd like to be over 100 years old. And I'd love to, but chances are that I may not be. But there's one thing about it. At 80 years of age, if God blesses me to live to 80 years of age, I want to be preaching just as hard now. I want to be preaching just as hard at 80 than I was at 20. That I was at 20. You know why? Because there's a fire down inside of me. And if there's a fire really burning inside you, you think you're going to let the lies of the devil snuff them out? You think you're going to let the gossip of the devil put that out? You think you're going to let the cunning devices of the devil put that out? God didn't start something powerful in your life just to lay it aside. God didn't put that inside of you just to let it go out. God put something in you so it could keep getting stoked and get hotter and hotter and brighter. So God will use you. And that powerful thing He's put in you as a catalyst. Please hang with me, guys. I'm really battling the devil, man. Because the devil don't want you to hear this word. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now I could come in here and told you a big fairy tale or something. He'd be, oh yeah. But he don't want you to hear what I'm telling you today. The fire in you and some of you here today is not as hot as it used to be. Did you hear what I said? And the devil, who's the greatest con artist there is, has tried his best to shut that fire out. But Gypsy Smith, at 80-some years of age, he was preaching hard. And a young preacher come to him after the service. And he said, Mr. Smith, he said, how in the world do you do this at your age? How do you get up there and preach with such fire? And he said, you know what? I have never got over the wonder of it all. You see, some of you have got over it. And he said, I've never gotten over the wonder of what God has done in my life. He started a fire in my soul. I see him catching other people's lives on fire. I see a firestorm going in the earth today. I see a fire. God woke me up this week with a strange word, and I wanted to get together with Bobby, the great firefighter of Wise County. Not only is he a good Holy Ghost cop, but he's a firefighter too. And some of you else here too. But there's a word that God just awakened me with. A word. When a fire starts, it ignites in a room. There's a dangerous thing about a fire igniting in a room. Some of you thinking a backdraft. I'm not thinking about that. What was the word I sent you? Flashpoint. How many's ever heard of the flashpoint before? There's another name for it. Flashover. When that fire starts, it ignites. It combusts, it just explodes into powerful energy. And when that fire starts, it consumes everything that is in that house that's fuel for that fire. It'll consume everything in its path. You see, a fire will look for something to burn. A fire will look for something to burn. A fire that's in you will look for something to burn. Amen. You'll look for things to burn. You'll look for things to burn. And this fire is sort of like it explodes. And it consumes everything in its path. And it'll burn everything that can be burned. Amen. It could burn everything that can be burned. Well, Jesus started a fire. And his people. Not only did he start the fire on the altar, which is in Leviticus, but the gospel analogy of that is that when Jesus, he says, I baptize you. He said, John baptizes you with water unto repentance. But there comes one after me who is mightier than I. That, listen, there's one coming after me. And John said, he'll baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit. How many knows that there's one that comes after John that will baptize you? Baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit. Everybody shout fire.
Fire.
Jesus said in Luke 12 and 49, I love this scripture. Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I came to set a fire on the earth. I came to set a consuming fire that would burn everything in his path. Jesus started this fire on earth. He ignited in his church a Holy Ghost fire that we must keep spreading and keep burning. In order to do that, we got to understand this is a sacred thing. This is something that we can't let drop. Some of you here have callings on your life. You have anointings on your life. You have giftedness in your life. You can't take that lightly. You can't take that lightly. God is starting to wanting to do a work in your life. So in Acts chapter 2, you'll say, oh my goodness, what does Acts chapter 2 have to do with this? Everybody say Acts chapter 2. How many knows that Jesus died on the cross? He was raised from the dead. And he spent 40 days on the earth, and he instructed his disciples specifics of what he needed them to do. And at the end of that time, the Bible says he ascended to the heavens. He went back. And there were angels standing around and said, this same Jesus you see taken is coming back in like manner. Listen, Jesus is coming back, you know. Jesus is coming back. And whether he comes back by the cloud today, he may come by the way of the grave. But regardless, he's going to come back. And I want, when he comes back, I want there to be passion alive inside of me. I want a fire to be. I want a fire. I want my spirit, my soul to be consumed by this holy fire that's burning, that we need to win a world that's lost to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2. And he told the disciples, he said, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry. I want you to wait. I want you to wait for me, because there's something I'm going to do in you. He said, there's something I'm going to do. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. When he left away, many of them were brokenhearted, and their spirits sunk, because they said, wow, Jesus has really gone. But Jesus said, listen, don't worry. He says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there, because he says, I'm going to send back another who's going to be like me, who's going to represent me. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your guide. He'll be your teacher. He'll do instructing you, and he'll never speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. So he says, go in Jerusalem and wait until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes. And when they went to Jerusalem, they waited. They waited. They waited in Jerusalem in a place called the Upper Room. How many's ever heard of that place? God, I pray today that you turn again our lives into another upper room. Amen. I pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire today. I pray, Lord, that you consume everything that needs to be consumed. Lord, you'll burn up the dross. You'll consume everything, and you'll place in our life a powerful passion and desire, a hunger to go after you with everything that is in us. And I'm going to say this something to you today. Some of you are not doing that. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Some of us are doing just what we have to do. I love what Jenny said yesterday. Sometimes church is like a checklist. It's what we do at the end of the week. Check. I did my duty. I went to church. I come. I lifted my hands. I might have danced a little bit. Maybe if I was in the right mood, I did. I listened to the preacher. I tried my best to listen to what he had to say. Check. But God wants this to be an experience for you. God wants, it's like our eating. And the Europeans say, the American and people in the Western world do not know how to eat, because it's become fast food craved. And we want to eat fast and quick. We want to gobble it down. We want to go on and do as many things as we can in the day, because you know we're busy. We're busy. But you know what? God wants to marinate sometimes. God wants to marinate the steak. God wants to marinate the food. God wants us to sit down for an experience, a dining experience, where we can experience the presence of the Lord, where we can be in the presence of God and not say, God, can you hurry and get through this? Because you know I've got things to do. How many knows that God wants to do some things? Amen. God wants to do some things. Hallelujah. He wants to start a fire down in you. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all there with one accord in one place. Let me tell you something. When you get people all together in one accord in one place, watch out. That makes for one awesome fire. That makes for one awesome fire. We were all together. Everybody shout together. Do we have that right there? Can we bring that in here? God showed this to me not too long ago. And some of you, I've been bringing this for 3 or 4 weeks. You say, Pastor, I wish you'd just get through the barbecue thing. Because I'm getting tired of seeing this barbecue pit here. Yes, I want some of the briquettes. Yes, okay, that's all right. That's awesome, man. You did a great job. And looks like some of them are even on fire. They're not, are they? Okay. Because I didn't mean for you to do that. I was going to reach my hand down there and take one of them hot coals of fire. How many knows that wouldn't be too hot? That would be very hot. So, we got all these briquettes down there. How many knows old school barbecue? You put briquettes in an old barbecue grill like this. By the way, they still do that. For some of you, it's laughing at me. They still do that. We don't have, for the people who don't have all the sophisticated grills. And besides, some people like this kind better. But anyway, they put all the briquettes in there and they light that fire. And it takes a few minutes. And then they'll all ignite. You see, each one of them fuels each other. They feed off each other's fire. They just get all consumed in the fire. And you can put a big steak in there. You can put a big tenderloin on there. You can put a big ribeye on there. And man, you can slap some jaws with that, okay? You really can. You put that on there, and that'll cook. That's beautiful how it cooks. It's hot fire. It's hot fire because they're all in there together, burning. Everybody say together. The fire burns hotter when we're all in here together. If you're helping me and I'm helping you and we're all in here together, how many knows the fire burns hotter? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody shout together. God meant for us to be together. He started this fire with 120 people all together in a place called the upper room. God set him upon his barbecue. Wow, and he was going to start something in them. God is getting ready to start something in you. Do you understand why the enemy fights this body of believers so hard? Because of what God wants to do, not just today, but to tomorrow. Everybody say tomorrow. Tomorrow. I need you, Bobby. And I appreciate the fire that God rekindled in you. But each of those briquettes wasn't designed to take independently and set out by themselves. And you put it by itself. How many knows it'll burn a little bit? It'll burn a little while. Yes, it's heat. It's been heated by the rest of them. It's been heated by the fire that's been started there. But listen, it's not there being consumed in the whole fire. It's not feeding off the fire of other people. How many knows that's one of the important parts of fellowship? When people come together to worship God. Listen, it's not just coming here to do a church thing. It's coming here to be together. To be together. How many knows we got to be together? God didn't make you an island to yourself. There are no freelancers or islanders. in the kingdom of God. We're all a part of the big body of Christ. Jesus is coming back after a body. He's coming back after a body consumed by His fire. So He'll burn a while, but I'm going to ask you a question. Loaded question. Which of these fires are going to burn hotter? This one? For the longest distance. This one or this one? Come on, shout it out, guys. You know why? Because they have each other. Your fires ignite and rekindle fire in me. Kim, Brianna this morning, texted me a powerful word, a prophetic word that I embraced this morning. I needed that word. You see, there's a fire inside of her. And she didn't know that, wow, you mean I can help light the pastor's fire? Hey, man, you can. Wow, how many knows we all got a fire that we need lit? We all need each other. Do you understand that? We all need each other. Turn to somebody and say, I need you. Come on, some of you need to wake up. You didn't even do it. Turn to your future bride there and say, I need you. You better say that. Did you say that? Okay. Okay, let's don't go there. Okay, let's don't go there. Becky's even laughing up there. We need each other. I said we need each other. You may not need me, but I need you. Hallelujah. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? We need each other. God knew we needed each other. Because He knew in a time of persecution, the church would not exist as an independent island. So the Bible says in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, this is God starting the fire in the church. Listen to this. We're closing, okay? Listen carefully. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. They were all in one place together. Did they all look like each other? No. They all act like each other? No. They all have different passions? Yes. But they were getting ready to receive the same fire. And when the day had come, suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there came a sound. Everybody say a sound. I hear a sound. I hear a sound, not an ordinary sound. But I'm hearing the sound of a mighty army rising. I hear the sound of an army rising. I hear the sound. Look, we're not just singing some cute song. I hear the sound of an army arising. I hear a sound of God's burning ones. I hear the sound of an army that's full of passion and fire that will win the world and turn the world upside down. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. God wins, the devil loses. Turn to somebody and say, God wins, the devil loses. I said, God wins and the devil loses. God don't have bad days, but if He did, on any bad day, God still wins and the devil loses. Amen. That fire is in you, friend. That fire is in you. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir yourself up. Even if you don't need it, if you don't feel like you need to get up and dance a little bit in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Let me tell you what drives fire. Brother Rick today is over in the mountains somewhere in Southwest Virginia on a line. He's not fighting actual fire. He's supplying food and help and all kinds of things to the men who are fighting the fire on the line. Because how many knows when a fire gets out of hand, it's hard to stop. Somebody said it's hard to stop a train. It's hard to stop a fire that's breathed by God Almighty. And the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven, and then a rushing wind. This was the driving wind. This was the wind of the Holy Spirit. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So suddenly they were in the upper room. And suddenly this big sound of wind filled the room where they were. The wind filled the room where they were. Something was getting ready to happen. I said something was getting ready to happen. I wish somebody in this room would believe today that today is your day for something getting ready to happen. Amen. You need fire. You need fire. You need fire. You can't preach this word without fire. You can have all the brain. You can have all the knowledge. You can have all the giftedness, but you can't do anything without the fire. Amen. You got to have that fire to preach to inmates behind the walls that's been there for 30 plus years. You got to have fire to stand boldly in the council of the ungodly and declare the word of God in faith. You got to have fire to stand in the presence of your enemies and to know that the Lord is with you. It takes fire. I don't know what you feel, but for a lack of word, man, I feel some fire right now. I feel some fire right now. Amen. I feel some fire. I feel some fire. And some of you all need to feel some fire. Amen? Everybody say fire.
Fire.
And then there appeared to them divided tongues. Divided tongues as of fire. It wasn't fire, but it was as of fire. So why did God use fire to start the day, the first day in the life of the church? This was our beginning right here. It was initiated and launched with fire. God sent fire that day and started a fire in that upper room. And you know what? They left from that room. Cloven tongues of fire lit upon each one of them, and they all began to speak as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They began to speak in languages that they didn't even know or understand. A miraculous thing took place. Fire was all over that room. Wind was blowing. Men were in the presence of God. They were being consumed by a fire that they couldn't control. They didn't want to control it. They didn't want to put it in a box. It was out of their hands. And the Bible said when they left that upper room that very day, they went out in the streets and they began to preach the gospel. They begin to preach Jesus as they had never preached it before. They preach with boldness. They preach with fire. Some of you need boldness to witness to your friends. You need fire. Everybody say fire. Fire will give you the boldness to stand and share your gospel message. Share your testimony with people. And they begin to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that day, 5,000 people came to Jesus on that one day in Jerusalem right there. 5,000. It started a firestorm. How many's ever heard of a firestorm? A firestorm is ignited and it's out of control. You can't control it. And listen, the devil couldn't put the fire out. The Roman government couldn't put the fire out. Hear what I'm saying. The more they persecuted him, the hotter the fire got. The more they tried to persecute him, the more the fire spread. The more they tried to put the fire out, the bigger the fire got. Amen. The Bible said, it was said of these men, these are they that have turned the world upside down. Amen. How many knows you can change the world? Do you hear what I'm saying? You can change the world. Everybody say fire.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. it started a fire on the earth. The governments, the nations of the earth could not contain it. A passion so hot and fierce. Do I need that passion for Jesus today? Do I need that passion, that love, that devotion to Him today, knowing that this is a sacred fire? Your heart is devoted to the one you love, as a Shunammite woman was. Her heart was devoted to the one that she sought after. We can say that we're after God all we want to, but the actual, it will prove in the temperature of our fire. Because once you get it, you can't let it go. You want more. Amen. You want more. How many knows you want more? You want more. You're not just satisfied with just a little. You want more. You want more. Everybody shout more. Well, guess what? God has more. God has more. Everybody shout more. That night, I was filled with the fire of God. February the 17th, 1991, at 8:30 p.m. I'll never forget it. The tears that come out of my eyes, and I'm not saying your experience is going to be like my experience, so don't get mixed up with that. Everybody's experiences are different, okay? I'm saying this is me. But I stood under a shaft of light so powerful and intense that it melted my heart. There was a love that came into my heart of the likes I have never experienced in my whole life. The tears that came out of my eyes were red hot. I'm not lying to you. If you put them on a scale, or if you measured the temperature of that tear, I don't know what the temperature was. It was way beyond my body heat, though. You know what? God started a fire inside my soul. I can't quit. I can't give up. And the times I've wanted to, then God rekindled and awakened that fire again in me that was shut up in my bones. Because the wonder of it all, I got a hold of the wonder of it all. I still wonder. I'm not bored. A lot of people act like they're bored with their Christian experience. Whoa, man. Whoa, nothing boring about God, I promise you. Nothing boring about Jesus. Every day I get up, there's a new adventure. Every day I get up, there's a new opportunity. Every day I get up. Don't we sometimes just yawn in the face of God? And for somebody yawning here today, I wasn't meant for you. I don't even know if you were or not, okay? That wasn't directed towards you. You could be taking medicines. I don't know. There's nothing boring about living for Jesus. It's the most exciting life you'll ever live. Is it hard? Yes. Don't let somebody tell you that it's easy to be a Christian. If you're a real child of God, you're really living your Christian faith, it is not easy. Because you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be made fun of. You may even be put in prison, or you may even die for the gospel's sake. And for the people who don't know it, there are people in parts of the world right now today are dying for the gospel. And this nation that we're so blessed with, that we have the freedom to come to worship God, get all excited. In a lot of parts of the world, they can't do that. They have to hide secretly. But there's a passion burning inside of them. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the threat of death, they still desire to assemble together and worship their King. Because there's a fire shut up in their bones that they can't contain and they can't control. Everybody say amen. Is your fire burning hot today? Is it burning hot? I'm going to say this to you. There's three categories here today. Close. There are those that are here today that have never heard about the Lord and how he ignites the fire. There are some of you here today maybe have never ever given your life to Jesus Christ the first time. God's interested in you, your heart. He sent the best that he had to die for you so that you could receive Christ today in the forgiveness of your sins. And so he could ignite a fire of love and passion deep within your heart to live for him earnestly and truly. It concerns me. It concerns me when people, I know we all go through things, but it concerns me that people give their life to Jesus. They dedicate their life to Jesus, and 3 or 4 weeks up the road, they're ready to quit. They're quitting. They're quitting. And how many knows we all go through things? But what God started in you, he didn't start it in you to make you to want to quit or give up, because there's something greater than yourself. And then number two, there are those who once knew and had the fire burning for the Lord, but it went out. The fire went out, or it's flickering so low that you can hardly detect it. And there are those of you here this morning whose fire is still burning, but it's not burning maybe hot enough and intense enough, because you've neglected to feed the fire and keep it clean, keep it going, keep it burning. You got to keep the fire going. You got to keep the fire going. Wow, this word right here keeps the fire going in my heart, in my spirit. This word keeps the fire burning in me, burning inside of me. This word keeps the fire. When I seek God and I find him each day and I commune with him, when I just meet with him, communion is a powerful word. It's an important word that we need to remember. Communion is not just getting on your knees and praying. It can be. Communion is a long-term relationship where you're dialoguing and listening to God, and you're connecting to him every day and all throughout the day. You're connecting your heart to Jesus. Amen. That's what communion is. Does your fire burn as hot as it did? Do you have to make yourself go to church? These are just some questions. Do you have to make yourself read God's word? Do you have to make yourself pray? Is it burning as hot as it needs to be? Are you faithful to the Lord? Do you find yourself trying to find... Oh, I'm sorry, Amy. I didn't mean to knock you out. You find yourself as faithful to God as when you first got saved. How many knows when you first got saved? Right here, I'm closing. Let me share something. How many knows it's exciting when you first get saved? It's really awesome when you first get saved. How many knows that? It's really awesome when you first get saved. Can I use you, Bobby? Yes, thank you. When you first get saved, you're excited. Yes! You know what? You could cry at the drop of a hat. Somebody could tell you about, listen, the three bears, and you start crying about it because you'd find something about Jesus in the three bears. You'd be just crying. You'd be just talking to people, and you start find yourself wiping your eyes because there's a passion inside of you. There's a fire inside of you. You know, I remember some of my family when they first got saved. They were saying, we don't have church enough. How many knows when you first get saved, you can't go enough. You can't worship enough. You can't hear the preaching enough. You want as much as you can get. And when you first got God, you're just telling everybody, even though you're shy, maybe a little bit shy, but you're still trying to tell everybody you can about Jesus. Let me tell you what the Lord did in my life. Let me tell you what the Lord... You're not an evangelist. You're not some theologian. You're not some great preacher. But you're right there sitting in the living room, or it's right there sitting in Walmart crying and just telling people about Jesus. And suddenly they get fire on them and they start crying. And listen, because they're close enough to the fire to know there's something burning inside this person that excites me. Don't expect anybody to come to your fire if you're not on fire. Nobody ain't going to follow a fire that's not burning. None are going to follow an ice truck, I promise you. But eyes will turn at a fire truck going down the road. But the longer you get in your faith, the more complacent we become. We sort of back away. We start giving stuff up. We start putting things before that passion and fire. Then after a while, it's easier to miss. No big deal. God understands. Wow. Isn't it amazing how we know that God, how God knows sometimes when we don't even know what we know sometimes. Amen. Come on, be real with me, huh? That fire's missing. It's like a romance. When people are courting. Look here, man. Look at this guy, how sharp he looks today. 5 years from now, I know you will be, but I was going to take that somewhere, Dakota. You're dressed up sharp today, and I know it's for the Lord, but I think also it's because you're honey here, okay? Is that all right? Because how many knows when you're dating and courting that you're going to try to look different than you did back home in your rollers? Back home, they don't even wear rollers anymore. Back, that shows you. Listen, back home in your big house shoes, that's number 15. Back home in your house coat that's got 15 holes in it. Back home, listen, how many knows what I'm talking about? When you're first in the romance and you're on fire for that person, you've got a love, a passion for him. You want to please him. You want to do everything you can. Oh, listen, just to let them know that you love them and you're going all out for it. But listen, let me tell you, when you get married, the honeymoon fades away. Then you come into the room with rollers on. You come into the room with one eye looking up, one eye looking down. You come in the room with not all your teeth there. You come into the room with the worst you got on. Because you don't worry about how you smell so much. You don't worry about how you look so much. Because you're comfortable. You're comfortable. That's a deadly place for the church to be. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. You may not want to hear it. I'm telling you the truth. That's a dangerous place to be when you get comfortable in your relationship with God, because you let your guard down, you let your arms down, and you get casual, you get complacent, you get apathetic, and it's no longer worrying about pleasing the Lord like you used to. It's just, it doesn't matter, because now I've got the Lord. Now I've got the Lord. Now I've got grace. Now I've got this. And so do we have grace. Amen. Thank God for grace. Woo, wow. Thank God for grace. But you know what? Don't let the fire go out. Get that fire back in your romance. Amen. Everybody shout romance. Get the fire back in your courtship with the Lord, like the Shumanite. Where your fire burns, where your heart burns for the Lord. You can't wait to come to worship God. You can't wait to meet the Lord every day. You can't wait to tell somebody about the one you love so much. In fact, you're showing your pictures. When you're romancing Grant, I don't know if you did that or not. You was awful quiet sitting here, so I don't know. But when you're dating somebody, you got the picture. This way it used to be when I was dating. They probably don't do that anymore. They just pull out their iPhones and start showing pictures. But back in my day, we had billfolds, you know, and you had a picture of the one you loved. And if you loved them, you were showing everybody their picture. I love Mrs. R. I got so crazy about her. And everybody said we had puppy dog love. Well, we probably did. We raised each other, and I don't recommend that to anybody. I was 17 years of age, and she just turned 16, and we practically raised each other. But there was a fire down in there. It's been tested a lot. We have two beautiful kids, a lot of beautiful grandkids, a lot of beautiful family. But I loved her. I went crazy over her. I was this basketball player and this lived in this Neverland, this Disneyland. I was this basketball player and successful in high school. And then I had this rocking, awesome, I won't say that word because it'll offend some of you, really super good-looking wife who was a cheerleader. And she got my heart. She captured my heart. Several years ago, Jesus captured my heart. He got a hold of my heart. He didn't get a piece of me. He got a hold of my heart. Have I failed? Yes. Have I looked the other way sometimes? Yes. But there's a fire inside my heart for the lover of my soul, the one who gave me everything. You know, the one who gave me everything. How could I keep back from the one who gave me everything? So today, God wants to restart a romance in your life where you can love God with a passionate fire and love for Him that the devil can't put out. I walked on crutches with torn ligaments in my foot almost a mile out of the head of a holler in snow this deep on a crutch just to see the one that I was crazy about. And she saw me, she got like blown off of her feet. What are you doing up here? You on crutches? Because I wanted to show her how much I loved her. We've been through a lot, but I still want to show her how much I love her. We've been through near death. We've been through surgeries and near death. We've been through deaths and sickness and depression and dark depression. Mrs. R battled dark depression, suicidal depression. But we hung on, and we hung on to each other. Friend, you got to hang on to the one that loves you and hanging on to you today. And let Him rekindle a romance in your heart, a love in your heart for Him that the world can't put out. The world can't put out. I feel right now the Holy Ghost is saying that He spoke to some people here today in this room. And if you're a Christian and you really know Jesus, you're on fire for Jesus, I'm going to compel you to do something right now to pray. Wendy's will be there. I promise you. Walmart will be there. There is nothing more significant, important than this moment right now in your life. I promise you that. Nothing compares to it. Nothing compares to it. If you're here today, heads are bowed, you're here today and you sense the fire is not as hot in your life as it needs to be. Or if you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus at all. Or maybe you once did, but maybe you got off track and the fire has gone out. And maybe the fire is not burning as bright as it needs to. And if that's you here today, I want you to be honest with me. Nobody's looking. I want you to slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, I want you to pray for me. My fire is not as hot as it needs to be. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless those honest hearts. Wow. I believe God is speaking here. I believe that the presence of Jesus is speaking here in such a powerful, significant way today. Lord, I need to be more in love with You, Jesus, and less in love with the things that distract me to such a great deal. Could you slip your hand up one last time? All over this building right now, be honest. Lord, I need a fire that will burn hotter and hotter for You. I really need that, Lord, in my life. I want to burn bright and hot for you. I want to change the world. I want to change the world. I want to change the world. If that's you here today, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you, while heads are still bowed, we don't usually do it this way, but that's okay. We're going to do it the Holy Ghost way. If you're here today and you want to burn brighter and hotter for the Lord, and you want to come and just talk to the Lord and get some things between you and Him worked out, I'm going to ask you right now, as we get ready to stand, to come right now in all one motion. Those hands are raised. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. 1, 2, 3. Let's all stand. And if you raise your hand, I want you to come and say, God, light my fire again. Ignite the fire in my heart. Come right now. It's okay. We've all been there. I've been there before. I've been there before. Just obey the Lord. Just obey God. And you'll never go wrong. Just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit today. God wants to restart a romance in your heart today. He wants to restart a romance that He began a long time ago. He wants to start a love affair that He started with you a long time ago. Come to Jesus right now. Just simply come. If somebody's standing there, say, excuse me, I need to go forward and pray. Come right now. Come right now. There's others right here tonight, today, that I believe your heart is yearning. Your heart is yearning right now. Your heart is yearning right now. There's something beating at your heart door. Something's beating at your heart door. And God is saying, just open up. Just open up. Just open up. I'm going to start a fire again in your life. There's still fire there. There's still a flame there. I'm going to rekindle it. I'm going to get it hot and bright again. I'm going to restart this romance again. Come right now. Come to the Lord right now. I believe there's others here today. Many have come. Many have come around this altar today. Being honest with the Lord. Being honest with the Lord. Being honest with the Lord. Being honest with the Lord right now. Come on, let's be honest with Him right now. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with Him right now. Let's be honest with Him right now. Lord, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, Lord. I feel the fire going out in my heart, and I want to come and rekindle that fire right now. Come right now to Jesus. Come right now to Jesus. Wow, He sent a special love letter to you today. He sent a special word to you today. Come right now. Come right now. Before we close, come right now. Come right now. Come right now.
Set a fire in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Come on, how many want more of you, Lord?